Friends in Christ, we just heard these words sung. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now, a lot of us, when we sing that song, when we come to that line, it kind of shakes us up a little bit. I'm a wretch? To be honest, when I have sung this and read this, I don't know if I exactly feel like a wretch. What is a wretch? It's like you're Frankenstein's monster or something. You're like a terrible person. You're a terrible thing. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like a wretch, right? I'm a pretty decent person. I do well. That saved a wretch like me. Well, these words are important because the person that wrote that hymn a long time ago in the late 1700s did feel like a wretch. A person that he thought was worth God forsaking, giving up. You see, this man was growing up in early colonial America when this song was written, this ancient hymn, one that which is even important enough that we have it broadcast in oak on our wall. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. He thought of himself a wretch because he owned and operated a shipping business that frequently brought back African slaves to colonial America. He was a slave trader to America, seeing firsthand how people were brought from their homes and families, plucked up from their normal way of life, their normal culture, and taken, bought and traded like personal goods, stored in the bottom of their ship over rocky waves over the Atlantic Ocean, and brought to a brand new world where they would be put in a lifetime of service, maybe even separated from their loved ones. And so he says that this amazing grace saved a wretch like me. After he's seen how what God can do with his even wretched life. Today in our world, it seems like it's been already a couple hundred years since we've fought and taken care of this problem of sin. When we fought and millions of people were put to death in the Civil War, where America fought over states' rights, not slavery, but states' rights, the southern states in our country wishing that we would not be telling them what to do with what they thought were their goods and property. So we have this problem of slavery and racism coming up and rearing its ugly head, even still in 2020. Just recently, as you often have probably heard. And sometimes we throw out words maybe similar than we see this happen. It's wretched. It's sin in just another new way. So how are we to think of this? Well, today, first of all, we hear in our scripture lesson from St. Paul, even further back in time. He's writing around the 50 or 60 AD mark, where he's still talking about slavery. So the first thing we have to remember is this problem of sin, especially putting men and women and maybe even children to subservient bondage and work, it's not a new problem. It's something that has been done in every culture in the world. Native Americans employed slaves. The ancient Romans, the ancient Greeks employed slaves. Even those of the same skin color didn't matter. They were bought for as a hired hand, a servant, a house servant. Some treated very well, some and others not. And so when St. Paul writes his letter to the church in Rome, they know this issue of slavery. They have host and house slaves of their own. But he says that we're not just slaves to a master of a house, we're slaves to what we call sin. An even greater problem, because This is a master that we can't get away from. This is a master that always brings us down. He says we are slaves to sin, and therefore we should not let this sin reign in our mortal bodies and let sin dictate how we run our lives. We are under a different kind of master, Paul says. Yes, every day we might struggle with the inclination that we want to do what we want to do. We want to be our own master. We want to maybe have other people do work for us without getting paid. We want to treat our bodies as if they were our own and do what we want. Sin with them being instruments for unrighteousness, he says. But today, Paul reminds us once more in 2020 that we don't just have a master over us called sin and death. We're not slaves to sin, but we have a different kind of master. No matter how much sin still rears its ugly head in the world, we have been bought and paid for by a master that's good. So he uses the same language, the same word of being a slave, but a slave to God. Imagine that. It seems like polar opposites. How can you be a slave, something that you work hard, you don't get any credit for, but then you're a slave to God? What do you mean, St. Paul? He goes on to clarify that you are set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. By means of your baptism, by means of you being credited to and by God of your holy life, by means of that, you get to say that you have a different kind of master. And therefore, the work that you put in each and every day is work that is freely done for your benefit, not for somebody else's. The work you put in is for the benefit of your neighbor and for God. And so he says that we're slaves not of unrighteousness, but of righteousness. Does that make sense? We're slaves still to maybe the little sins and problems of the world, but even greater than that, we don't report to anybody else but God. And that's a good thing. We have a different kind of master that calls us to good things, good works, good righteous behavior. And that's what we can remember today when we hear about race protests, when we can hear about the problems of evil in the world where people feel like being lawless once more. We don't even want police forces in our country anymore. When those issues come up, we can remember that we aren't slaves to the world, we aren't slaves to those issues, but we are slaves, in a sense, because we were bought and are owned and purchased by God. That we have a new identity. And to being purchased by God, it means that he was willing to die for you. He was willing to put himself lower than you. Jesus was the one who put in the work, who was willing to be whipped, and who was being willing to die. In that sense, God has given us the title of master. God has given us the title of royalty. God has given us the gifts that only him deserves. We have a new identity, folks. That the world tries to tell you one thing or another, that you are defined by your paycheck, that you are defined by your skin color, that you are defined by your gender, that you are defined by your religion. But our new master tells us that we are defined by one thing and one thing alone. We are defined by the image of Christ. Our identity is rooted in us being children of God. a privilege that we are ushered into by means of Jesus' death and resurrection. And that's what we can go back to when the world seems like it's crumbling apart. That we are slaves in a different sense. We want to serve God because we are free to do it. We've already had that freedom won on Easter morning. And so we take care of our neighbors. We be as safe as we can going out in our world and even conducting worship. We honor our fathers. We honor our mothers because that's the righteous thing to do. That's what God wants for us. And when you do that, you are fulfilling your God-given identity as children of God in the family of God. So when we hear of hymns like this, sung in maybe even new ways, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." We know that it is a true fact that we were once a wretch because of how ugly the sin inside of us was and could be. And just like this writer, we know it's amazing. So, what do? Today on Father's Day, we honor men. We lift them up instead of those famous sitcoms like The Simpsons or Everybody Loves Raymond or The Modern Family. Dads are important. They deserve our respect and attention, to be held up in high regard as leaders in our family. Statistically, when you see men in worship like we do today, their families will be more likely to return to worship God and be Christians when they're adults. So thank you, dads, for being the leaders that your family deserve. Now, I thank God for both my mom and dad. My mom was the one that usually took me to church, but my dad was always there, right beside her. And when you have those two main figures in life, you will see good Christian and American citizens being raised up. But back to that hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." That was written by that African slave trader named John Newton. And he realized that even more because he gave up that former life of sin and became a pastor. And he preached this amazing grace up until the day he died. Over 30 years of service as a pastor. And that's the goal we have today, that since we have been set so freely from our past and from our sin, that you and I have a duty today to help the others in our world know this same amazing grace. So when you leave today, you are equipped to go out into a very lost world and be instruments of God's righteousness once more. Because you have this amazing grace. Your chains are gone, you've been set free. Our God and Savior has ransomed me and you and them. With this in mind, may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.